next pandemic will be anxiety. They predicted this based on patterns that they see, that the next pandemic is going to be anxiety. But look how good God is. God always has a remedy. He made our bodies, right? And he made them fearfully and wonderfully. And scientists did a study many years ago. And the study said that gratitude and anxiety can exist in the brain at the same time. So when you start feeling anxious of all of the crazy stuff that's happening, all you have to do is say So when all of that, when the new pandemic comes, you don't have to worry about going to get a shot.
All right,
you just look up and thank God.
Hey.
Hallelujah. And then there's crazy stuff going on in California, gender affirming health care, and that's a big thing on the docket right now, right, for the Supreme Court. Gender affirming. So people are trying to make the fact that you may have a child who was born a boy, who thinks he should be a girl, be able to get a sex change operation without any consent from their parents, minors. That is what is going on in the courts. That's what's going on. All right, so we have to have a different strategy moving forward. Things have changed, and we can't move on business as usual. We have to do some new things. Hallelujah. And so that's why God is identifying you today as his glory carriers, because he wants you to carry some stuff that has never been carried before. He wants you to do some stuff that has never been done before. He wants to use you as a glory carrier to be a little bit more dignified. Let me try to follow my notes. I don't start running around up in here. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. So do you have an idea of the posture of a glory carrier? That is what I entitled my message today, the posture of a glory carrier.
All right.
So when I saw you, you were all holding your hands. Everybody holding your hands. Not like this, praising God, because you know we praise God. But you guys had them open, like you were carrying something. Hallelujah. And the Lord is going to talk to you today about the posture of a glory carrier. So let's first take a look at the ultimate carrier of glory. The ultimate woman who is a carrier of glory, of course, is Mary, his mother.
All right.
There is no other greater glory carrier than Mary, because she literally carried the King of glory. She carried the King of glory. Nobody can carry anything, and nobody can carry any more glory than she did. And so when the angel visited her and told her that she was going to carry Jesus, you know what she said? Be it unto me according to thy word. Humility. She was humble. She accepted. She believed. Hallelujah. She trusted. Hallelujah. She was willing. She was strong. She had favor with God. And she was a worshiper. She was a worshiper. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 47 through 52 reads, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, she said, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name.
Holy.
Mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost parts, and he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Mm-hmm. She was humble. I kept wondering, like, why would you choose Mary, God? And Sister Bernita, you prayed this over me this morning, this very thing that I'm talking about, you know, in the spirit. I was saying, why would you choose her? But that's why he chose her. That's why he chose her. Yeah. Because she had all of those attributes. So ultimately, because she carried the King of Glory, she carried all of us too. Reminder, we're talking about the posture of a glory carrier. Her acceptance was not to be able to say that one day people will worship her. It wasn't so that she could have a title and be able to forget or to think that she always had a place on the front seat.
Yes.
It was much deeper than that.
Wow.
So the glory carrier needs to be willing. The glory carrier needs to have favor with God. The glory carrier needs to be humble and trust and believe and obey. And most importantly, be a worshiper.
Mm-hmm.
And we've experienced this whole message has been depicted today.
All right.
Yeah.
From the moment that we walked in here until now.
Yes.
This message has been going on the whole day.
Amen.
The second woman that I want to talk about is Deborah.
Yeah.
Deborah. Yeah. The book of Judges, chapter 4.
Yeah.
Deborah was the wife of Lapidoth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's in some translations, they say she was a wife first. I believe in King James Version, they say that she was a prophetess first.
Yeah.
Some versions say that first she was a wife. And in those times, if you didn't have a husband, women of God, you weren't regarded as much.
All right.
If you didn't have a husband, you weren't regarded as much. And so you couldn't have a ministry if you didn't have a husband. But that was over 2,000 years ago. That was over 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
So whether you have a husband or whether you don't have a husband, you still have something to do in the kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You still have something to do in the kingdom.
Yes.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
So it goes on to say that she was a prophet who was judging Israel at that time. She would sit under a palm tree, and the Israelite people would go to her for judgment.
Well,
humility. She would sit under a palm tree. She didn't have a judge's chamber, and she didn't have a courtroom, and she didn't have Twitter and Facebook and all those other things where she said, I'm a judge, and I saw Star Jones on TV. Now, Star Jones is a judge again.
Right.
She wasn't
there.
Deborah was under a palm tree.
Right.
She was humble. And people were still coming to her. They were coming, and they were coming, and they were coming. They didn't care it was a palm tree. They knew that she was a judge, and they were going to her. And you know what I want to say about Deborah, aside from the fact that she was humble, she believed God. She was prepared. She was reliable. She was not afraid, and she did not doubt what God said to her. Hallelujah. And so when you spend time with God, he'll let you know who you are.
Oh, yes.
Well, he'll let you know who you are. Not just that you're somebody's wife, but that you can be a judge, and that you can be a prophetess, and you can be whatever God is calling you to be. It's not predicated upon a man. It is not predicated upon the pastor. It is not predicated upon your brother and his church, because you go to his church, and now you can't do nothing because he's the man in the church. And so he said, well, you sit down there. You can't come up here. You can't preach the word from up here. The word is still the word.
Yes.
And so if you are called by God, forth.
Hallelujah.
And carry his glory.
Yes,
go forth and carry his glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't think that because your platform is not as grand, glamorous as somebody else's,
Amen.
That you don't have a significant job in the kingdom.
Yes.
So if you are here today, the Lord wants you to know that you have a significant job.
Mm-hmm.
It might seem like a little palm tree, but
Woo!
You have an important job in the kingdom.
Yes.
Or maybe you know God, and you've known God all your life, and he's been using you mightily, and you already know everything that I'm talking about. But listen to this. God always has more.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Say it again.
He does not run out. I don't care how many churches you've spoken to. I don't care how many services you've done.
Yeah.
I don't care. He still has more.
Yeah.
More people that need to be blessed.
Yeah.
And more places
yeah.
that he needs to
yeah.
see. He still has
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
he has
you.
More.
Thank you,
thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
So the Israelites were being oppressed once again because you know they served God and then they stopped serving God and then they served God again and then they stopped serving God. And it was back and forth and back and forth for years. It was back and forth. So they were being oppressed by Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army. And Sisera had 900 chariots of iron.
Well,
nobody had chariots of iron. They may have had chariots, but not of iron. And he oppressed them for 20 years. And the people did what?
Cried
out
to the Lord.
And so Deborah, in her desire to free the people of oppression, it says in Judges chapter 4, verse 6, one day she went for Barak, son of Abinoam, who lived in Kadesh in the land of Naphtali. And she said to him, "This is what the Lord God of Israel commands you."
All right.
So she was prophesying to Barak. And she said that God said, "Call out 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun at Mount Tabor. And I will call out Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, along with the chariots and the warriors to Kishon River. And there I will give you victory. Over him."
Victory.
This is God speaking. "I'm going to give you victory, Barak."
All right.
She prophesied that to Barak. And what did Barak say? "If you go with me, I'll go." The man said to the woman, "If you go with me, I'll go."
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Come
yes.
on,
Jesus. Yes.
This is the only time in history, in the history of this Bible, that a man said that to a woman.
All right.
Hallelujah. So it seems that he believed the prophecy, but he didn't want to go without her.
Right.
He had faith, but not the same level of faith that she had.
Yeah. Mm.
You got friends like that, right?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
people, right? They believe what you say. You prophesy
you.
To them, and they believe you, right? Until they go home.
Mm-hmm.
They go home, and then they come back to your house with the same problem. And now you got to pray for them all over again. The same prayer the same powerful anointing prayer that you prayed the last time.
Yeah.
They believe God, but they only believe God as long as they're close to you. But in order for you to be a glory carrier, you got to carry the glory by yourself.
Come on!
Nobody can go and sit up under you because you had to earn the glory for yourself.
Yeah.
Even your own children, they get to the point where you say, "My son calls me all the time, Mom, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me?" I said, "Yes, I can pray for you, but you can pray for yourself."
Yeah.
You've been here long enough. You're 25 years old. You know how to pray for yourself. I'm your mother. I'm going to pray for you.
Yes.
But you don't need to know how to pray for yourself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your kids, you got to teach them. They cannot stay up under you for the rest of their lives. They cannot do that. That's why you're tired. That's why you don't have any money. That's why you don't Hallelujah. So, when it got into battle, the Lord intervened. He intervened and he sent the storm that caused Sisera's heavy iron to sink down in the mud. And so he had to get out of his chariot and walk.
All right.
And when he walked up. I'm sorry, let me back up for a moment. When Barak said to Deborah, "I'll go only if you go," she said, "Okay, I'll go with you." She was humble. She said, "I'll go with you. But the head of the army is going to, his life is going to be given into the hands of a woman."
Wow. Yeah.
She prophesied that. She didn't know
that
Jael was going to do it. She had no idea. So he got out of his chariot and he came to the tent of a woman named Jael.
Amen.
I love Jael. And verse 18, she says, it says, "Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, 'Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid.'" So he entered her tent and she covered him with a blanket. And he said, "I'm thirsty." And she gave him, and he said, "Can you give me some water?" But she didn't give him water. She gave him some milk.
Amen.
And gave him, and then she covered him up once again. And he said to her, "Stand in the doorway of the tent. If someone comes by and asks you if anyone is in your tent, say no." That was the plan of the enemy. But Jael, and look what it says next, Heber's wife. And God include the husband in there, right? So it says that she picked up the tent peg and a hammer, and she went quietly. I got to say that again because we get so loud sometimes.
Uh-oh.
From God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So she went down in history. So what a am I saying? God wants to send you, as I started to say before, to some places to kill some stuff. God wants to send you to some places to kill some stuff. In hospital rooms, in courtrooms, in prisons, in hotels. He wants you to kill racism and sickness and disease and discrimination and unfairness and promiscuity and immorality, drug addiction and homosexuality. He wants to use you to do it. How are you going to use you to do it? He's going to use you. He's going to give you his glory, and you're going to carry it in. Go in with your hands up. Go in with your hands. Just like that, to go in with your hands up. You're going to carry his glory. He wants to use you. Hallelujah. He needs you. And it won't be in loudness, and it won't be in showiness. This is a new day, and God is downloading new strategies. Hallelujah. So sometimes when we come up against the enemy, we're so quick to tell him off. We're so quick to show him weapons. You show him your weapons, and sometimes you need to just let him think that you're stupid. And then just wait until God downloads the strategy. Hallelujah. So a woman decreed the word, and another woman carried it out. Hallelujah. But you've got to know how to assume the position.
My God.
Go in with your hands up.
Jesus.
Sometimes we'll walk into places in the flesh, and other times we'll walk into places in the spirit. God doesn't care how he has to do it. As long as you are willing,
Jesus,
he'll use you. So one morning I was in prayer. After I praised God and I worshiped God and I wept before God in my prayer room by myself, I was in worship, I was in prayer, and I was just sitting there waiting for God to say something to me. All of a sudden, I got a vision, and I was no longer in my prayer room. I was in the bathroom of a woman's prison.
Wow.
And it was a woman sitting on the floor with a knife in her hand, and she was getting ready to commit suicide. And there was an angel behind her. And I just kept praying, and the Lord said, just keep praying.
Jesus.
And she dropped the knife.
Jesus.
She dropped the knife.
Thank you.
God wants to use you for
Hallelujah.
His glory.
Thank you.
He will take you in the spirit to anywhere on the earth. I don't know where this woman was. There was another time when I was praying and I just saw a woman sit up in her bed. I don't know what she had in her hospital bed. I don't know what she had. I don't know if she was in a coma. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God wants to use you. You know, when you go into a restaurant and you order your food, and the server might be the best server on the planet. He may be nice and ask you all the right questions, and he brings your favorite meal. But he didn't cook none of it. He didn't cook none of that. So you don't have to worry about, and neither does the server in the restaurant. He don't worry about how they cooked it, what they put in it, what kind of seasoning. He just is going to bring it to you. That is what God wants you to understand. Don't worry about what I'm doing. Don't worry about where I'm sending you. You just be a glory carrier. I'm going to put my glory on you, and you go and carry it wherever I send. Thank you, God. And remember, the glory belongs to God. The glory belongs to God.
Yes, Jesus.
So I've had many other encounters, and all of my encounters have one thing in common. They came after accessing God's glory. And so how do we access? access God's glory. Yes. Well, we demonstrated that here today. We praise God until the worship comes.
Yes.
We worship God until the glory comes.
Mm.
And then when the glory comes, we gotta stand in it.
Mm.
Stand in the glory.
Hallelujah.
Stand in the glory until God fills you up.
Hallelujah.
Stand in
Hallelujah.
The glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So praise and worship are key.
Hallelujah.
They're very, very key to you being a glory carrier. And so when we stand in his glory, we cannot rush it. We cannot rush it. Sometimes we praise God and it's good and service was good and then we worship a little bit like, okay, gotta go. You know, the Super Bowl's coming on. But God wants us to learn how to stand in the glory.
Mm-hmm.
For as long as he says, not for as long as you say.
Yeah.
You need to be able to stand in the glory so that he can give you what he wants.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you can't say it and not mean it.
Mm.
You can't say, I'm a glory carrier, if you really don't mean that that's what you are, that's what you want to be. You can't be careless with the glory.
Yeah.
Mm. You can't be careless with the glory. Uzzah was careless.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Uzzah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When they were carrying the ark from Abinadab's house?
Yeah.
Abinadab was his father.
Yes.
And the ark had been there for 20 years.
20 years.
So you would think that Uzzah would know what to do and what not to do. God said, do not touch the ark and none of the stuff in there. But that's what happens sometimes when we get familiar. It was in his house for 20 years, so he got familiar.
Yes.
He got lax and he got comfortable. And he touched the ark. And he died, and some translations say that he blew up, his body blew to bits, because he touched the ark, because he was careless with the glory.
Yes.
Don't be careless with the glory. There was another time when people found the ark or whatever, they opened it up, and 50,000 people died at one time. 50,000.
Come on here.
Because they touched the glory. They tried to touch it.
Jesus.
Stop playing.
Mm.
Stop playing. You cannot carry the glory if you're in church one day and then you go to the mosque.
Hallelujah.
Then you talk about Buddha another time. And then you come back to the church and they got to start all over again, pray all of the stuff off of you. You don't want to be a glory carrier if you cannot rest in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can't be, so don't be careless. Even with the word, you know how we say people get new cars and they get something new and you go, girl, you going from glory to glory. That's not what that scripture means. That's not what that scripture means. You're being careless with the word of God. It says, but we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. The glory that God is projecting back onto us.
Come on.
Hallelujah. It has nothing to do with what kind of car you have.
Come on.
It has nothing to do with, I got a house over here, and I got a house in Kentucky, and we got a beach house. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with God reflecting his glory back onto you. Hallelujah. And if you're not ready, if you're not willing, if you're not a willing participant and desire to be a glory carrier, then this is not for you.
Amen.
This is not for you.
Thank you, Lord.
And so I'm almost done, but I want to give you guys an illustration, and I want you guys to participate in a demonstration before I completely close. I want to give you an illustration of praise and worship on the cross of Jesus Christ. So the horizontal line of the cross Jesus, with his hands outstretched to the people, represent praise. Because we're saying we praise God.
Yeah.
When you look at Jesus, and he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, we're praising God. And the woman at the well, she went and she praised God. She told people about Jesus. Mm-hmm. That was her praise.
Yes.
But the vertical line of the cross represents worship.
Yeah.
We're not telling anybody else about Jesus.
Yeah.
We're telling Jesus about himself.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love you. Oh, God, I'm pouring
it out.
Oh, God, you are everything to me. Oh, God, I don't know what I would do without you. I love you every day, oh, God. I can't wait to meet you, oh, God, each and every day. But I go into my prayer closet, God. I cannot wait to be in your presence, God. Let's
worship.
Hallelujah. The woman with the Mary Magdalene, she is an example of worship. All the people were around her. She didn't even pay any attention to them.
Amen.
She was on Jesus' feet crying and then wiping her tears with her hair. She was worshiping God. Hallelujah. There's a difference. It's a progression. It's a progression. Pray. You can pray. The higher you go in praise, the deeper you go in worship. The higher you go in praise, sometimes you praise and praise and praise and praise and praise it. And then, but when it comes time for you to worship, you can't even stand up. You can't stop crying. You can't stop telling God how much you love him. Hallelujah. And that is where the glory comes. That's where the glory comes. Hallelujah, Jesus. And then you stand in the glory. Stand in the glory. It doesn't mean that you must be standing up, but take it. Take it. Take the glory. Hallelujah. Take the glory so that you can go out and God can do what he wants to do in you. And when we sow heavenward, I don't mean when we bring our tithe and our offering.
Amen.
I mean, when we're praising and worshiping God, we're sowing heavenward.
Yes.
And when we sow heavenward, God, what is he? He allows us to reap our harvest, right? And so after he sees how much we love who he is, that's when he shows up and shows us what he can do. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Give him a hand clap. Demonstrate something as God showed it to me. If you would stand to your feet and stand in aisles as if you were going to come and bring an offering.
Thank you, God.
And people are on the right. Stand on that side, people on the left, stand here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Sister Edna. Will you go first? Because I need you to come back and lead us in Ethel, I'm sorry, in worship. I don't want to sing right here. If you can lead us in a worship song, hallelujah. But right now, I want you to go first. So you can come back around first. And so, assume the position. The position of a glory carrier. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. If you can lead us in worship, a worship song. You all are going to go around the church, then come back to your seats. That's if you're giving an offering. That's if you give up. I don't think that there is